So the first reading is in Genesis chapter 6, from verse 9 to 22. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. And this is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has a breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You, your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. And the next reading is in chapter 7, on the next page, starting at verse 17 to 24. For 40 days the floods kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished: birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days.
Carrying on in chapter 8. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of heaven had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountain of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. Going on to verse 15 over the page. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it." So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much indeed for those readings. If you've got a Bible in front of you, best page to be on is page 8 and 9. Most of the parts we'll be looking at are on those pages. And let's pray together as we come to God's word. Loving God, we thank you that this ancient book is your living word to us today. Please meet with each one of us this evening. Please teach us about yourself. And please strengthen in us faith and love for Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Well, my title for the talk this evening is The Flood for Grown-Ups. This must be one of the most famous parts of the Bible and one of the most popular parts for children's songs and children's activities and toys. I've got two boys at home, and the Noah's Ark is an absolute favourite for us at bath time. Sadly, we have lost Mrs. Noah. So Noah goes up the ramp with Spider-Man, who is a huge help in keeping all the animals under control as they come up the ramp after them. But I want us to see this evening that the Noah account is not just for children. It has vital lessons to teach us as teenagers and adults, and is very appropriate for a baptism service. So far this autumn, we've been studying through the opening chapters of the book of Genesis. And far from being a children's story, Genesis is a highly sophisticated account, giving us a foundation for life in God's world. We've seen in Genesis that God created everything, the universe in its wonderful variety. We've seen that God created us, human beings, in his image to live in relationship with him. And then we saw in Genesis chapter 3 how we, in the person of our ancestors, Adam and Eve, have rejected God. We've rejected his rule over our lives, insisted on deciding for ourselves what is right and wrong. How we live in God's world as if God didn't matter and we were in charge. And we've seen in Genesis the consequences of this sin, at a conflict between human beings, the pain we experience, the frustration that work often is, and death. We've seen how until our sin is dealt with, we're shut out from relationship with God. And then in Genesis chapters 4, 5, and 6, we see human sin spreading and worsening. Until in chapter 6, verse 5, shortly before this evening's reading, we read these shocking words, which you can see on the screen. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. That's how bad things have become at this point. That's how serious the human sin had become. Every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And so the question we have at this point in Genesis is, what is God going to do about it? How will God respond to human wickedness and sin? Will he ignore it? Will he accept it? What will God do about human wickedness? Now, we can't look at every detail of the flood account this evening, but we are going to see two vital truths that have much to teach us today. And the first is, God judges human wickedness. Now, it's not easy to speak about God's judgment. It's certainly not easy to hear about it. But if we want to know the truth about God, we can't ignore it. And we're going to see before we finish this section that it is ultimately a good thing, although a very challenging thing, that God judges human wickedness. See, the book of Genesis is clear. The flood was no accident. It was God's judgment on human sin. We see this at the start of our account in chapter 6, verses 11 to 13. Look at chapter 6, verse 11 at the bottom of page 8 there. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. You see, God saw that the people of the earth had turned from him, that they had turned from doing good to do instead evil. And so God warned Noah that he was going to bring judgment on the people of the earth. Chapter 6, verse 17, God repeats his warning and expands on it Chapter 6, verse 17. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. And then in chapter 7, we read of the flood when it came. See, for example, chapter 7, verse 20, right at the bottom of page 9. Chapter 7, verse 20. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals, and the creatures that move along the ground, and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark. So God's judgment was deserved, came because of human wickedness. But God's judgment was also devastating. There was no avoiding it. Whether you were popular or unpopular, whether you were rich or poor, whether you lived on the top floor or the bottom floor, no one could escape God's judgment, except through the one means of salvation that he had provided. Now, this is a hard-hitting truth. But it's one that we see here and all through the Bible. God judges human wickedness. Now, people sometimes say, okay, in the Old Testament, fair enough. In the Old Testament, we see that God judges. But we don't have to worry about that because when we get to the New Testament, we see that God is a God of love. But actually, God never changes. The truth is that in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's love and his judgment come together. Did you know it is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the most loving person who has ever lived, who speaks of God's judgment more than anyone else? Jesus tells us that the flood in Noah's day is a pointer to God's judgment to come when he returns. So here on the screen are some words from Jesus in Luke chapter 17, verse 26, in the New Testament. And Jesus said, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, right up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. See, in Noah's day, people were carrying on with life as normal, and then suddenly God's judgment came. And Jesus says it will be exactly the same when he returns. People will be carrying on with life, and then the day of God's judgment will suddenly come. And Jesus warns us of this because he loves us, and he wants us to be ready for that day. Now, God's judgment is deserved, and it's devastating, and it's spoken of by Jesus Christ. I want us to see also that God's judgment is ultimately good. Oh, it's challenging to hear of it, but it is good because it means that justice will one day be done. Now here we can see on the screen a picture of the statue of Lady Justice. This is situated on top of the law courts in London. And Lady Justice, she carries her scales because justice weighs the evidence and does what is right. And Lady Justice is blindfolded because justice treats everybody the same, rich or poor, important, not important. And Lady Justice carries her sword because justice punishes evil. And we know this when we see wickedness in the world. We want justice to be done. How much more when we are the victims of evil? We cry out for justice. But without God's judgment, there is ultimately no justice. Just think of two cases that have been in the news this very week. You might have heard of Mohammed Al-Fayed, that rich businessman who is now accused of abusing hundreds of his female employees before he died. Now, he died without ever being brought to justice. Does it mean he's got away with it? Or consider Vladimir Putin. His invasion of Ukraine has now killed almost 1 million people. And it's very likely that in this world, he will never face justice. Would it not be terrible if the wickedness committed in this world just went unpunished? Would it not be terrible if God saw human evil and the harm it does, and he just smiled? No, it is a good thing that God is a God of purity and justice, and he will judge human wickedness with justice. It's a good thing, but it is also such a serious thing, because all of us have rejected God, all of us have turned away from him, and we all deserve his judgment. And that's what makes the second truth that the flood teaches us so wonderful. We've seen that God judges human wickedness, but we see also that God rescues those who trust in his salvation. And this is a wonderful truth for us to understand this evening. God rescues those who trust in his salvation. And the main thing I want us to notice about how God rescued Noah and his family is that it was by grace. It was a sheer gift from God. God rescued Noah by grace. Have a look at chapter 6, verse 8, on page 8, just before our first reading. Chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, favor means grace. Noah didn't deserve God's rescue. The rescue was God's gracious gift to him. We read in the next verse, chapter 6, verse 9, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Now, that does not mean that Noah was perfect. If later on you look at the end of chapter 9, you'll see that later in Noah's life, he had a huge moral failure. Noah was a sinner, just like the rest of us. As the Bible goes on, we see that Noah was righteous by faith. It was because of God's favor to him that he had a right relationship with God, and he lived differently to his contemporaries, and he had a living relationship with God. He was saved by God's favor or grace. And this truth is reinforced in the way it's God who takes the initiative at every part of Noah's rescue. So in chapter 6, verse 14, it was God who told Noah to build the ark and exactly how to build it. In chapter 7, verse 1, it was the Lord who told Noah to get into the ark and to take his family and the animals with him. In chapter 7, verse 16, the end of the verse on page 9, the end of chapter 7, verse 16, we read, then the Lord shut him in. It was even God who closed the door of the ark, sealing Noah in his loving care. Then in chapter 8, verse 1, we read, God remembered Noah. It doesn't mean that God had forgotten about him. It means that God was acting on his promises to rescue Noah and to keep him safe. And so God sends a wind and caused the waters to recede. And then over the page in chapter 8, verse 15 and 16, it was God who told Noah and his family when it was safe to come out of the ark. You see, God has taken the initiative at every point in the rescue. It was God's gift to Noah and his family. Well, what then was Noah's part? It was to trust God, to have faith in God's salvation. God rescued Noah by grace through faith. So later in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we read these words. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, the flood, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, means he exposed the sin of the world, and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. It was by his faith that Noah was saved. You see, when God told Noah that judgment was coming and that he must build an ark, Noah trusted God, and he did it. Now imagine how that must have seemed to those around Noah at the time. You picture Noah going to the builder's merchant, placing his order for the cypress wood. How much do you want, mate? What are you doing with it? A ship? Well, don't come asking for a refund. Or imagine Shem, Ham and Japheth, Noah's sons, and they're on their way into school, and they see their classmates nudging each other and whispering, and they hear them saying, their dad's off his head. Have you seen what he's building in the garden? A huge boat. or Noah's mates in the pub. We haven't seen Noah for a while. What's he doing? He's gone mad. He's building an ark here in a landlocked country. But you see, Noah was a man of faith. He heard God's word and he trusted in God's salvation. Noah and his family were rescued by God's grace through faith. And actually, the way that God rescued Noah's family in the ark points to the way God rescues his people today in Jesus Christ, still by grace and through faith. So God gave Noah the ark to save him from the flood. And God has given us Jesus Christ to save us from his judgments, which we deserve. God came into the world in the person of his son, Jesus. He lived the one perfect human life. And then on the cross, Jesus died to take the judgment that we deserve. He took the flood so that we don't have to. That means if we trust in him, our sins are paid for, judged already. And just as Noah was safe in the ark, we will be safe in Christ on the day of judgment. Actually, our salvation is so much better than Noah's. Noah came through judgment into the same old world with all the same old problems. Jesus Christ will bring his people through the day of judgment into his new creation, where there is no more sin or suffering or death. This is what Charlotte and Josh and Charlotte have declared already this evening. God saves us by grace through faith in Jesus. So imagine you could somehow interview Noah and his family when they came down the ramp and into the watery or drying world. And you rushed up to them and you said, "Wow, you guys have been rescued from the flood. You must be great people. You must be better than all of those who drowned." And Noah and his family would say, "No, we're not. We were rescued by God's gift, simply through trusting in him." If somehow you could interview a Christian in that new creation to come, and you ask them, "How did you get here? Is it because you're better than everyone else? Is it because of all these good things you've done?" That Christian would say, "Not at all. The rescue was God's gift to me. He gave Jesus to die for my sins. All I did was trust in God's salvation." So friends, here in the opening chapters of the Bible are two more foundational truths for us. God judges human wickedness. Justice will be done. And God rescues those who trust in his salvation. And so as we finish, I want to ask each of us three short questions. First of all, are you safe in Christ? It is the people who are in the ark who were safe from the flood. It is those who are in Christ, trusting in him, who will be safe from God's judgment. Are you safe in Christ? You may say, "God's judgment will never come." That's what they said in Noah's day, and the flood came. You may say, "God's judgment won't affect me," but the flood affected everybody. We have all rejected God. We cannot trust in ourselves and our own performance, but we can trust in Jesus who died for our sins. And that is what God wants us to do. Are you safe in Christ? And then if you are you thankful for your safety? You see, every single person in that ark, all of them, were kept safe through the flood. And in the same way, every single person trusting in Christ will be kept safe through God's judgment. Because it does not depend on what we do, but on what Jesus has done for us on the cross. If you trust in Christ, you are completely safe when God's judgment comes. Are you thankful for that safety? And then third of all, are you helping others come in? See, Noah helped his family into the ark. And there is no more loving thing that we can do than help others come into Christ. What an opportunity we have this Christmas to pray for those who don't know Jesus yet. to invite them to come and hear of him and to speak to them of our faith so that they too can trust in Christ and be saved. God judges human wickedness. God rescues those who trust in his salvation. Are you safe in Christ? Are you thankful for that safety? And are you helping others to come in? Let's pray. Father God, we are sorry for the ways we reject your rule in our lives. We know that we deserve your judgment. So how we thank you for your grace in giving Jesus to be our Savior, so that we can be forgiven, kept safe through your judgment, and brought into your wonderful new creation. Father, help those of us who are not yet in Christ to put our trust in him and be safe. And help those of us who are in Christ to know how safe we are and to help others come in. Amen.